Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What's on your mind? Send it to idea@wretched.org. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. And don't forget, while you're at it, please send stuff you think is wretched. We would love to see it from all over the globe. idea@wretched.org. For instance, wouldn't have ever found this. And, well, frankly, yesterday I didn't find it, but I found it now, just in time. A church is disciplining a bishop for affirming the Bible. Well, there. Wait, what? That's right. The Episcopal Church has scheduled a disciplinary hearing for the Bishop of Albany because he teaches the Bible restricts marriage to one man and one woman. Well, no wonder why they're... Huh? Wait, let me get this straight. That conflicts with the church's resolution B012, which requires bishops to allow same-sex weddings to take place in their diocese. The good news is there is a movement in the Episcopal Church. Many very fine Episcopalians have left and they've started. Joey, do you recall it was called the Anglican, the North American Anglican, we're not like the Episcopalian Association of people who got tired of an unbiblical denomination that used to be Orthodox Association?
That sounds pithier than that, but I get it.
When the resolution was passed in 2008, this particular bishop responded with a pastoral letter arguing same-sex unions are, quote, in direct conflict and contradiction to God's intent for the sacrament of marriage. For his trouble, he's getting put on trial. Wow. Can a denomination be more apostate? I don't think so. Poor fellow. He said, I thought this was a worthy quote. He said that to permit same-sex marriages does a great disservice and injustice to people who struggle with this. You're not helping them. You're encouraging them now to live in sin. That's not kind. That's not loving. The bishop says it causes them to believe God gives his blessing, quote, to the sharing of intimacy within a same-sex relationship. He also said it's a direct conflict to God's intent for the sacrament of marriage. Bingo. This guy is biblical, getting put on trial by a denomination that isn't. Let me ask you a question, as long as we're on the subject. If I said to you, I was born with murderous desires. I mean, I really, I see people, want to kill them. Just whatever mean, doesn't matter. I was born that way. You would say, well, perhaps, no argument there, being totally depraved sinners. That doesn't contradict any Christian theology if you want to say that that is just because of your fallen state, born in Adam, that you were born with those desires. No argument from me. I don't see any implications theologically to that. But then I said to you, but now I'm a Christian. But I'll be honest with you. I tend to identify as a murderous Christian. I like to hang out with some potential victims just because, you know, I don't act on it. Don't get me wrong. I don't act on it, but it's who I am. Therefore, I'm a murderous Christian. And oh, by the way, I like to hang out with other murderous Christians and just so that I can feel that fulfillment of being in a relationship with another murderous Christian. You would say, there's something wrong here. You're off in your thinking. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are gone. Your desires, which are indeed sinful, they need to be mortified. Furthermore, if we are really going to be biblical Christians, not only do you need to replace your desire to murder people or murder your desire to murder people, put that to death, mortify it, you need to learn to love people. So you need to go the other direction here, because the Christian life of sanctification, it is not merely not. It is not to just stop doing bad things. It is also to start doing the right things. And so if your former desire as a Christian, a new creation, was to murder people, that's to hate. You are now called to love. So those same people you used to look at and think that you wanted to strangle, now you want to help them. You want to serve them. You want to love them. That's Christian sanctification. Amen? Did you know that there's a movement that is saying that you can be a gay Christian? You were born that way, and as long as you don't act on it, you can hang out with others. You can even live with another, quote, gay Christian, as long as you don't act on it. That is as preposterous as being a murdering Christian. Please send your emails, idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This will do your little cold conservative heart good to receive this email. It just makes me happy. From a young man, I've been getting a fair amount of these. This will encourage you. A number of emails from young people, teenagers, asking great theological questions, but a lot of them are about sanctification. How do I grow in holiness? How do I get better in this area? How do I deal with these things? That should encourage you. God is still saving teenagers. God is still in the business of taking somebody who's dead in their trespasses and sins. I mean, like teenager dead, and bringing them to new life in Christ. That should just encourage you. So this young man, I'll leave his name out of it. He's just asking about music, secular music. He got saved 5 weeks ago. Praise God for that. Now he's like, secular music. I don't think that I should be listening to this. What should I do? And the answer is, it depends on what sort of secular music you're talking about. There's a lot of considerations in something like that. First of all, is it innately sinful? That's a no-brainer. No, you don't listen to it. Was walking down the street the other day, Mrs. Friel and I, going on our evening constitution because, well, we still can. And there was somebody driving by with their windows down. It was like we're walking. I heard the F-bomb rapped out the window twice. And I'm pretty certain it also included the words killing cops. And this is good for people? Ay, 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 ay. No to that. That's easy. But what about secular music that isn't innately sinful, sexual, vulgar, just wanting to kill people? Maybe. You say, well, wait a second. Why? It should be like drinking a glass of water. There's nothing sinful about it. Sure, I can use a glass of water to drown somebody. Wow, this has been a violent segment. Or I can drink it, and it helps me to live. It's secular music is like water. If it's not sinful, I can partake or not. So why don't you just say yes? Because we should always ask some follow-up questions when it comes to entertainment and amusement. Does it edify? Does it help me to grow? Now, I think that we should consider that before we spend time listening to stuff. Now, don't worry. We're not going to get into a twist over this. But if you are spending more time just consuming stuff that doesn't feed you or benefits you, you can do that. You can. You have discretionary time. God allows for those things. You're not sinning if you do. The only reason I didn't say a definitive, hey, knock yourself out, is because we should just be more thoughtful about entertainment and amusements. They are there as a blessing. They are there to help us rest. They are there to give us just a break from our brains working a certain way or our bodies being taxed. It's okay. But don't forget to think about your soul. How much of this do I need to consume, really? Aren't we all surprised when we get our weekly report from Apple telling us how much time we spent on our cell phone each day? What? I did? It can deceive you. And especially perhaps during this time of quarantine season when so many people are cooped up. What? Netflix. I understood, if I get this right, somebody told me that Netflix is actually reducing the quality of their transmissions because so many people are downloading stuff. Okay, there's nothing wrong with watching a non-sinful series. That's fine. Do that. Enjoy it. Praise God for it. But watch it. I don't mean put your eyes on it. Consider it. Think it through. How much of this do I really need today? You've been wanting to read the Bible more? Okay, turn out the Netflix and start reading your Bible. You're like, I'm kind of struggling in my walk. I'm feeling a little cold. Okay, then stop listening to your favorite secular music and put on something edifying. Put on a great hymn. Sing some songs to the Lord. It'll do your soul good. It did to Habakkuk. It will to you. It will bring you joy. So can you listen to secular music? Certainly if it's not sinful. My only encouragement, the little caveat, would be consider your soul and let that dictate how much of that liberty you enjoy. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate that you spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. Time running out for you to get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and then join us for our Easter invasion on April the 8th. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is our newest evangelistic resource. Perfect for a world that's trying to persuade you that Jesus was a good teacher, maybe a prophet, but certainly no more than that. The only fly in that ointment, of course, is the Bible. Our new booklet explains how the Bible profoundly and undeniably proves that Jesus Christ is no mere mortal. He is, in fact, God in the flesh. Visit wretched.org/time to get your copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. wretched.org/time for your copies. And then join us April 8th, our Easter invasion. Wretches from around the country going to public colleges and universities to give away copies of The Man Who Split Time and spread the gospel to students. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Imagine. It's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring.
Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here. Bring. The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait. There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International, many seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. wretched.org/pastor.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare for some quality Christian radio. Please, please do not sin and say a word. This is Wretched Radio. I know, Friel. Well, that would be nice for a change. Oh,
see, I was
would like to share with
to.
You a demonstration of why it is good to consider how much secular music and entertainment you consume. This is anecdotal, I grant you, but I think it actually has biblical support. I'm on my texter machine going back and forth with Tom Hammond. You know Tom Hammond. He wrote the What Time Is Purple booklet that we are still willing to give to you. You pay for shipping. We'll give you as many copies as you promised to give away. You can do that at wretched.org/purple. We are going to hit 1 million. I am certain of it. I'm guessing this summer we'll hit 1 million copies of this given away by you. We'll give them to you. You give them away. Tom wrote that booklet. He's working on another booklet, by the way. And so we've been spending a fair... I'm actually excited about it because it deals with the subject of agnosticism. What Time Is Purple? It does touch on agnosticism, spends a little more time on atheism. And there are plenty of those out there. But there are a lot of people who think they're taking the safe road. Ah, I'm not a believer. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm agnostic. They feel it's the safe ground. And as Jason Lyle said in Road Trip to Truth, which gets better and better with every episode we produce, can't wait to share it with you. Jason Lyle said, agnosticism is not a non-belief position. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes unto me, unto the Father, but through me. So there's the truth claim right there. And if you say, nah, well, then you are believing that Jesus is wrong. You believe you know better. So it is a belief system. And he said, if you want to play that game, he said, then fine, I'm an agnostic. I'm an atheist, which you go, well, you don't believe it. You believe something else. Even if you don't believe something else, you don't believe that. So that is a belief system. Well, Tom is going to expand on that a whole lot more. And it's just shaping up to be really good. We agree on that. There's something else, however, we don't share agreement. Music. You see, Tom has particular musical taste, being a Southerner. He puts the twang in banjo, Tom Hammond. Yeah. He is totally Southern. Now, he did, however, answer a question. This is something that I've been musing for a long time. I'm flipping through the channels on the TV. And you get to the PBS thing. And when it says fundraiser, you go, ooh, I'm going to stop and watch this because I probably won't get propaganda. I'm going to get music. It probably is some sort of 70s flashback, but nevertheless, it could be something good. This has nothing to do with the fellow. I don't know who the fellow is. I don't know if he's a believer or not. But he plays the guitar, and it's not my cup of tea. I can't sit and listen to somebody just play the guitar for 90 minutes. It's not my bag. For the life of Tom Hammond, he can't understand that. He loves the guy. And that caused a church split between the two of us. I'm kidding. It normally does, but it didn't. So the other morning, he sends me a video that he filmed. Now, this is from his church. From his, they were doing a rehearsal. Can you hear this? Tight, eh? Master,
Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain.
Wow, that's outstanding stuff. Make it stop. Stop. Okay, made it stop. Okay, quality. I played that through my cell phone. He sends that to me. Finally, we find some musical agreement. I went, now that I can dig right there. What happened? I listened to that. I happened to be at home. It was early in the morning when he sent that. There was three people in this church, Tucker Street Church, in little old Halls, Tennessee. Had the privilege of being there a few weeks ago. He sent that the rest of the morning. Okay, it wasn't exactly the same key. Do you know what's rattling around my bread, my head? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. One little snippet from a church rehearsal with godly music, clearly Jesus-centered, stuck in my brain. So what was my default all morning? You know how your brain does that? You know, you hear a song, it gets stuck, you got a thought, you just fall back on it when you're not busy. So it fills in the spaces sometimes when you're not concentrating on something. You know how your brain synapses all over the place. This was my default all morning. Why? Because I just listened to about a 60-second snippet of a church rehearsal. That is why when you spend your time listening to secular music, which you have the liberty to do, so do I, and I do, and so do you, that's fine. But how much better to put Jesus music in your brain? I mean, seriously, all morning, this was a day or two ago, I can't recall, a day or two, all morning, we were shooting TV, I believe, and I'm just thinking, Jesus, 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 there's something about that name, which is so much better than what was in there before. Because the day before, when we were recording some TV, my default, Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I feel for you, Shaka Khan. Isn't it better to have Jesus music stuck in your head? Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. What a lovely song. There is something about that name, isn't there? There's something about that name. Even the Anglo version, Jesus, there is something about that name. Get that stuck in your head. That ain't a bad deal. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Let's see which glass. Okay, these are less spitty. How does spit from your own mouth get onto your glasses? Anybody? You want to explain that to me? I'm not good at physics. I don't understand how these things work. But when I'd have to spit when I'm talking and then run.
It's the air movement, the backsplash of the aerodynamically. I got nothing.
This is from Hammer. That's actually, Hammer is his name.
MC?
Oh,
I had to. You know I had to.
Do you think maybe Hammer is a little sick of it? Huh? Do you think maybe our dear brother, whom you just offended, is tired of hearing, it's Hammer time?
Can't touch
this. How does that song go? I've got Shaka Khan now stuck in my head.
was that Super Freak?
Don't touch that. Dun, 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 dun. Uh-huh.
Super Freak.
Why doesn't God fully sanctify me now? That's a great question. Why doesn't God fully sanctify me now? First of all, now this isn't to be snippy, because that's what he decided. Remember, we are living, if you will, in epochs. Dispensations, if you prefer, eras. And we are currently in the paradise lost stage. And so God does not fully sanctify us. He fully justifies us. Positionally, we are sanctified. We're called as saints. Now it is our desire and our goal to walk what we are, to behave the way we have been made. We are identified as saints because of Jesus Christ. And we just don't always act like it. We will when we are glorified. So in this era, God has chosen that he fully justifies us. He makes us a saint. The process of sanctification is one that is ongoing. So why do you suppose he did that? How's about because it brings him great glory? How's about because when a sinner who used to love this now desires that? Who used to love the mud, now he desires what is in the clouds. Instead of seeking sin, he is seeking sanctification. Instead of following the devil, he's obeying Jesus. It brings him glory. And that's why. And so that's the way that he's chosen. Please remember that battle is lifelong. It has been a bit of a pattern that I've seen recently, at least with some of the emails sent to idea@wretched.org. I keep struggling with this sin. I'm worried I'm not saved. If you wrote and said, I've stopped struggling with sin, I'm worried I'm saved, I'd say, I'm worried too. The Christian life, it is a battle. It's a war. Consider Ephesians 6. This is war we are in. And our enemy never stops going to battle with us. He continues to desire to undermine any. He can't snatch us from Jesus' hand, but he can keep us from acting like Jesus and glorifying the Father. And so it is a relentless battle, and you can get tired. I get tired. We all can. So what do? You get your strength from the means of growth that God has provided. Preaching, teaching, fellowship, ordinances, and singing. Singing theologically rich songs. It will give you strength. It will encourage you. When you're singing Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. I promise you, it will edify you. Well, certainly more than Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, let me tell you what look.
Stop that.
I'm so kind. You didn't even have to ask for an encore. I just wanted to be a blessing and give that to you. Hello? Is anybody still?
They're gone.
Oh, well. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Burkinis. Some researchers are using COVID-19 as an opportunity to promote research on the body parts of aborted babies. The Trump administration doesn't allow scientists from the National Institute of Health to conduct research on fetal tissue, nor does it fund outside experiments using specimens from aborted babies. Immunologist Kim Hassenkrug at the NIH Rocky Mountain Laboratories in Montana appealed for an exemption from the rule. He wants to test treatment for COVID-19 on mice that non-NIH scientists engineered to have human-like lungs. The mice developed using human fetal tissue. But far more effective and ethical ways do exist to accomplish the same purpose, says Dave Prentice, vice president and research director for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Researchers have developed dozens of types of mice with human-like organs without using fetal tissue. Thank you. Those mice, according to Prentice, are ethically and scientifically superior as test subjects. Researchers can also conduct experiments using cells from umbilical cord blood or newborn tissue obtained during surgeries. Prentice said that using newborn tissue to test treatments much more closely approximates the real-life situation. If you are testing a drug that you're going to use for an already born individual, better to have born tissue to test it on, not unborn. He also questioned the timing. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recently opened nominations for an ethics board that would reconsider grants for research involving fetal tissue. Around the world, Spain extended emergency measures to April 12th as the country overtook China, with the number of deaths more than 4,000 now. Italy, sadly, has reported the most deaths from COVID-19, with over 8,000. And in Italy, at least 30 Roman Catholic priests have died from COVID-19, including 19 from hard-hit Bergamo. Don Giuseppe Berardelli was one of them, a 72-year-old priest who declined a ventilator so it could be used on a younger patient. In China, residents in Hubei province welcomed relaxed travel restrictions, but the pandemic specialist team has not left the area, as Wuhan continues to discover new asymptomatic cases daily, such cases not included in China's overall count. And an unnamed source has leaked the first photo from prison of Pastor Wang Yi, the Early Rain Covenant church leader jailed since December of 2018. According to a post by Jun Cheng, the photo was leaked by an unnamed source and posted on Facebook by his appointed lawyer, a lawyer who has been unable to meet or represent him. Wang has lost a lot of weight. Please pray for him. In Turkey, Simone Darilla was laid to rest in Istanbul after her body was found in Turkey 70 days after she and her husband were kidnapped from their village in Sirnak province. The elderly Assyrian couple vanished from Mare in southeastern Turkey
where they were among the last Christians still living there. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the kingdom of heaven, remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not going to apologize. Not going to do it. Yep, that was my impression of Dana Carvey doing an impression of George Bush. This is Wretched Radio.
What aren't you apologizing for?
Well, I'm not going to apologize to May, the 15-year-old, for calling her a boy earlier, because then I would be revealing May's name, and I said I wasn't going to do that. So yeah. I can't apologize for goofing up your... Besides, genders apparently don't matter anymore, other than the fact that they actually still matter. Sorry about that, May. This is a Wretched Radio. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. Todd, why don't you apologize for that Bush impersonation? It wasn't a Bush impersonation. It was an impersonation of Dana Carvey doing a Bush impersonation. Remember, radio talk show hosts.
Never wrong.
Never wrong. And if you think one is,
re-read,
remember
rule
that
one.
Rule. That's yep. Right. idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Yesterday, we had to put our dog down.
Oh.
That's a bummer. Because he was suffering. Hate that. I can't help but grieve, and it hurts badly, losing this friend who was loved very, very much. And he loved us deeply. Yep, I don't, they're such a blessing. Pets are such a blessing. You know what? You love a goldfish, it's a blessing. You love a dog, it's a blessing. You love a cat.
No one can.
Well, let's just get back to the email, shall we? Can one ask for prayers, in this case from a church? I know he was a pet, but the grief is real. I know that many might not take it as a big deal or a serious matter to pray for. Okay, what? Both parties need to come, I think, toward the center on this one. Not to try to be a rhino on this deal, but I do think that both parties should come together. Perhaps right now you're struggling with an illness. Maybe you're so tired of being cooped up, you are at risk, a high risk of coronavirus. Maybe you even got it, and you're dealing with that. And now you get the mail from somebody, the email request or the prayer request that says, would you pray for us because we lost our dog? You might be inclined to be annoyed. I would like to suggest to you, perhaps come to the middle. This would be a brother or sister who is genuinely grieving, and I don't need to share in the grief or compare it to what I might be dealing with. My heart needs to say, if they're hurting, they're hurting. So I want to lift them up in prayer. I might think one thing, it doesn't matter. What are they dealing with? What are they coping with? And we, this doesn't just apply to dogs. There are a gazillion scenarios when you maybe hear somebody's prayer request, you're like, yeah, well, try it with 8 kids, huh? You got a tough time being cooped up with 2. I got 8 of them. Well, they got 2, and they're cooped up, and that's hard enough. So we pray for them. Might I suggest your heart moves in that direction? And might I suggest that if you have a prayer request that you think, well, maybe some people, they might like find it like no big deal, or maybe just get annoyed by it. While they shouldn't get annoyed by it, I still want to be mindful of that and be sensitive about that and thoughtful about that and potentially even strategic about that. And furthermore, I might need to take a look at how much grief I am expressing over the loss of a pet. You've heard me say it is indeed a grievous thing. I totally get it. I've had 2 dogs in my life. They lived in our home. Freddie was 12 and a half, maybe 13. I think he was 13. Charlie, 14, 14 and a half. I mean, that becomes a part of your family. It's legit. At the same time, it's a dog. And so I want to make sure that as I present that as a prayer request to others, I'm not losing sight of that. I'm not trying to rush you through anything, but perhaps you need to alter and adjust and move toward the center of, yes, I'm grieving, but at the same time, while it was a blessing, it was still a pet. Maybe we both need to just adjust a wee little bit. Isn't that what church is supposed to be about anyway? Really? Isn't that what family is about? Living with people that force you to just kind of go, swallow it. That I'm not going to let that annoy me. It's really not that big of a deal. I'm a sinner too. Perhaps I do some things that get up other people's nose. And if you don't think that you do, then you really do. That thought alone does. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. And I'm sorry for the loss of your pooch. idea@wretched.org. This is from Gary. Wanted your biblical opinion. That should be the only opinion that ever matters, isn't it? On when I present the gospel to a friend, I become foggy-minded, unclear, lacking confidence. I know what the gospel is. I know how to present it. But when I try, I can't think of what to say and my mind goes blank. Thanks a lot. Well, join the club. That can happen. You know, some of that, in a silly sense, it could just be a bit of stage fright. This is more important than delivering lines in a play. You don't want to biff this. I get that. So maybe just, you know, some of that might cause your brain to go kafritz. I know how that works. Mine does. Everybody's does. We just got, oop, kind of zip, wandered. Oh, I don't know what to do with that. You don't have to apologize for that. Sometimes forgetting details. If I said to you, and I'm not trying to be trite here, but Gary, tell me about that restaurant you said you really liked. You probably wouldn't panic because that's not as important as what you're doing. So be mindful you have a high calling. And yet, if you can't remember something, it doesn't mean that somebody's going to go to hell because you forget or get a little bit of a panic blip. It's not going to stop you from telling me about that restaurant if you can't remember every single item in the salad category. Just do it. But there are some things that you can do. Practice. Just practice. I recommend this for all of us. I remember when we first got introduced to using the law before the gospel, listening to Ray comfort him out in the street and before he patented, okay, he didn't, but in a sense he did, the WDJD, what did Jesus do? That little acronym to help you remember. Okay, would you consider yourself to be a good person? Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments? Judgment, would you be innocent or guilty? Destiny, would you go to heaven or hell? Okay, that was like, okay, I got it. I can keep the order here. Because I was going out into the streets. It was abysmal. Okay, so would you consider yourself to be judged and going to heaven or hell with the Ten Commandments? It was just a muddle. So I practiced. I believe Mrs. Freeland and I, one would play the pagan and the other one would witness. It just helps you to get better. Second, pray a lot. Ask God to help you with this. Knowing also that if you biff it and stumble, he'll use it. Why? Because that's the way you said it. And if he didn't want you to say it that way, you wouldn't have said it that way. So rest in sovereignty, not as a license to be sloppy or not practice or not to be aware of the importance of what you're doing. But remember, oh, man. Oh, I should have said that. No, apparently you shouldn't have because you didn't. And if God wanted you to, you would have. Rest in that. And then finally, Paul. You see what I did there? That was alliteration. I did practice, pray, and Paul. Paul came to the Corinthians with what? Much fear, no eloquence of speech. Let that comfort you. Nevertheless, the church exploded. God will use what you got. Practice, pray, Paul. Thank you very much. That was
I got one for
Southern
you.
Baptist friends. Yes, Joseph.
Providence.
No.
See, you already were alluding to it.
But that's why you're a Presbyterian. That would be four P's. And that's not the way it works in Southern Baptist circles. It's three-letter P's.
You're missing
out. You can't
out.
Throw in Providence. No. It's not the way it works. See? Well, you don't know. You know what? You just don't know. You know what? Joey, how many covenants are there? You're a Presbyterian. That's right. Three. There it is right there. Backed up. Okay, there's actually five. But the point is, it's better to do alliteration in threes. That's all I'm saying. idea@wretched.org.
We got to go up to seven, though. Once you pass three to five, you got to go all the way to seven.
Why not? There's even debate on the
next
number
is
of them.
12, and then after that's 40. So, I mean, that's a high bar.
Jill asking, going through a little wrestling match in their home. I am going to give a definitive ruling on this because I'm a radio talk show host, and that's what we do. And nobody can question it. Well, homeschooling, public schooling. Here it is. Here's the definitive ruling. It's up to you, Jill.
Way to go out on that limb, dude.
Well, you know, I'm willing to speak my mind. It's totally up to each family. And different families are going to make different decisions. After all, there's different dynamics and there's different kids and there's different schools, aren't there? There's different places where people, let's not forget mom in this, okay? Let's not forget where mom is at with homeschooling, her abilities, where she's at spiritually, maybe some issues that the family has been going through, what type of kids and personalities that they're dealing with. I'm not going to parachute in on any family and look, oh, they don't homeschool. We homeschooled. I'd love to tell you it was for noble reasons. It wasn't. It wasn't. When we lived in the Twin Cities, our kids, they went to a private school. It was cheap. It was. It was a ministry of the church. It was great. We loved those people. We truly did. But by any standard, it was cheap. And we could handle it. We moved down south and we thought, we're just going to have the pick of the private school crop. It's a fortune for private school here. Hence, homeschooling. So who am I to make a law where there is no law? This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time and join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives. Lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
attributes of God. God is just. Since he is the standard of right and wrong, every judgment he makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
When song stays on my mind. Hello, this is Wretched Radio.
And it does, doesn't it?
It was a week ago, if I'm not mistaken. We were talking about Prince and his Machiavelli, and his book, The Prince, which was the perhaps the initial popularizing of a worldview that has been around since we've been around, the idea that the ends justifies the means. In other words, pragmatism. And I said, wasn't there some sort of perfume? And you both said, no. Gentlemen?
No.
What's
I believe
the first
I told you right
radio?
After the show, it was Machiavelli and When Song Stays on My Mind.
But I said, there's something.
Yeah. So I went looking.
About the Prince Machiavelli. Well, here it is. I received an email from one Tony Verkenis. Any relation by any chance,
no,
Tony?
No, never met him. Sounds
Prince
like a smart guy, though.
Jorge Vasily Machiavelli was an American perfumer. Prince Machiavelli is a perfume company founded in the 20s. Wind Song is one of the most popular, and it stays on my mind. Oh, the power of a jingle. If you're going to get music stuck in your head, best to get Jesus music stuck there. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. What were the rest of the lyrics? Wind Song stays on my mind.
Well, there's this whole buildup to it.
Yeah, I don't remember that
wind
part, though.
Wind song stays on my mind.
So it was a worship song. It just repeats.
It was before
and
its
all
time.
Your problems go away and you smell
exactly
better.
Exactly right.
Such a deal. They don't make perfume like that anymore now, do they? Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. I'm seeing on the Facebook machine, people are telling us to pronounce a curse on the coronavirus, writes Jim. Seems like mysticism, witchcraft to me. And they reference Psalm 91. Should we be doing that? No, we shouldn't. Our words do not have power. God has power. We pray to him. That's how it works. God deals with these things. How do we engage with the devil? We submit to God, draw near to him. We submit to God, and the devil flees from us. We soak our brains in scripture. We don't get thoughts then that are ungodly. We get more thoughts that are godly. That's how we engage in spiritual warfare. We don't have power to tell a disease to come or go. Seriously, where does this come from? Honestly. All right. Right now, I'd like to have this magazine within my reach. It's not. And I'm feeling a little sore. You know, I was using, you know what I've been using for the exercise stuff with
the
coronavirus routine? Those rubber bands that they've got,
yep,
the resistance,
yep,
bands. I got to tell you, there's some clever people out there. There are a gazillion ways to use those things. Now, if I were a kid, I'd be using them to hurt my little sister. But I'm talking about working out. There's just
a gazillion
ways to do it. And, you know, I'm a little sore from it because it's the stabilizing thing. So, magazine, come here. Magazine.
I command you.
Get over
here.
Use
the force, Todd.
What? That's exactly what that feels like. Do your words have power? Only in as much as God hears your prayers and sovereignly makes a decision to do it or to not do it, or to do it when he chooses to. Our power is not in our words. It's in our God. Pray to him. He's the one that we should be praying to for things to happen. And by the way, we should be praying to him and not Mary. Don't know if you saw some of the scuttle from the Pope. First of all, he's sounding a little bit like a Protestant. Did you catch this? The Pope actually said you can't go to a confession because of the whole coronavirus thing. So take your sorrows directly to God. Hey, there's an idea. It took coronavirus to turn him into a Protestant. People who can't go to confession or other serious reason Go to God directly, be specific about your sins, request pardon, and experience God's loving forgiveness. To be precise about that, we already are forgiven. All sins, past, present, future, gone. But we do nevertheless confess our sins, thanking God for his forgiveness, removing what can cause our relationship to be, if you will, strained. But all of our sins have already been forgiven. This is what the Pope said. Return to your Father who is waiting for you. The God of tenderness will heal us. He will heal us as the many, many wounds of life and the many ugly things we have done. Each of us has our own. God welcomes every repentant sinner with open arms. It's like going home. Okay. If you can't find a priest, say, Lord, I did this, this, this. Forgive me and ask pardon with all of your heart. Make an act of contrition. Oh, see. See, there's the works right there. Make an act of contrition. That you're doing that, that gets God to forgive you. Not from his bountiful grace. Quote, I will go to confession afterward, but forgive me now. And immediately you will return to a state of grace with God. Sorry. The Christian who is in Christ is always in a state of grace with God. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1452, says, quote, when it arises from a love by which God is loved above all else, contrition is called perfect. Contrition of charity. It's works, works, works. Such contrition remits venial sins. Your confession gets it done. Not Jesus. Your confession. It also obtains forgiveness of mortal sins if it induces the firm resolution to have recourse to sacramental confession as soon as possible. I'd rather climb to heaven on a rope of sand. How do you know when you've been forgiven with that system? You don't. Besides, you can take credit for it, and you can't. Jesus gets it all. And we, when we sin, we go to him as we would anyone we love to say, I repent, I am sorry, knowing that we've already been forgiven and there's no work we can do to justify or pay for our sins. Furthermore, we don't pray like the Pope either. This was from the Catholic Church. Somebody sent this. I'll leave his name out of it. Catholic Church, from a youth group from university, sent this to him. This is the Pope's prayer. O Mary, you always shine on our path as a sign of salvation and of hope. We entrust ourselves to you, health of the sick, who at the cross took part in Jesus' pain, keeping your faith firm. Whoa. Whoo. 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 You, salvation of the Roman people, know what we need, and we're sure you'll provide so that, as in Cana of Galilee, we may return to joy and to feasting after this time of trial. Here's what they think. You see, Jesus didn't want to make the wine, but Mary talked him into it, so she'll do that for you now. So pray to Mary, and she'll talk to selfish Jesus, because he always obeys his mother. What blasphemy is this? Help us, O Mother of Divine Love, to conform us to the will of the Father and to do as we are told by Jesus, who has taken upon himself our sufferings and carried our sorrows to lead us through the cross to the joy of the resurrection. Amen. Well, yeah, he did, but apparently so did she, participating in the work that bought your salvation. That is just absolute blasphemy. Can we pronounce a curse on coronavirus? No. Can we speak things into existence? No. Can our words make things happen? No. But God can. So we use our words to talk to him. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. This was sent from, I want to say this right, G-O-G-I. How would you say that, fellas?
Gogi?
That sounds right. I'm a Christian. Can I work on Sunday? Do I need to keep Shabbat as a Christian? You should strive to not forsake the assembling of saints on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, as is the pattern established in creation, the Mosaic Covenant, and the early church, and, if you will, 2,000 years of church history. And you should strive to make that a part of your pattern, which means there can be times when work, the delivering of a child, an accident, somebody that you need to take care of, can keep you from the assembling, the regular assembling of the saints, but it really should be a temporary arrangement. You should strive to make that the pattern. And in the meantime, you should work with your pastor to let him know why you are doing this. If we are missing church because it's a willful, well, you know, I got to work, I got to make money, but there's options. Uh-oh. If you're not trying to get out of that pattern, I would say, uh-oh. If you're not working with your pastor, you should on this issue to communicate. This is what's going on. This is why. And this is when I plan on having it end. And if not, could you please help me to do that so I can get back to the Lord's Day? I have a very liberal friend, writes Mabel. She believes in homosexual marriage. She doesn't believe in the Bible, that it's infallible. And to a degree, she believes in abortion. If the mother's life is at risk, she goes to Stephen Furtick's church. My question is, should I send her a podcast of Alistair Begg on the subject of marriage? Would that be a good idea? It might. It's your call. I would be less inclined to get into some of those skirmishes. I would be more inclined to focus on using the law to bring about the knowledge of sin. They've got to get their believing right before they can get their theology right. And even if you persuade them, you know what, the Bible does have theology on that, but they're not saved, what difference does it make? Demons are good theologians, but they're not going to heaven. So my encouragement would be wise about this. That might be the way to approach it. It might not. You know, every situation is different. Ask God for wisdom. Consider your motivation and keep your eye on the prize. Not just changing beliefs and thoughts on theology, but on regeneration. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.